Okay, time for Musical Musers, and I get to do Musical Musers this week, and it's brought to us by some good fine folks that I do want to tell you about, because they are so fine, and they're so folks, and they are the good people at Globe Life and Mullen & Mullen Injury Law Firm. There you go. Okay, I saw an interesting video this week. My YouTube algorithm served up to me on a platter, because I like to watch music videos from time to time. Rick Beato comes up fairly frequently. It seems like they're always serving me up Rick stuff. And he did a short video on why bands have disappeared. Now, he was cued into this topic by some guy on the BBC named Richard Osman. And he was talking about the British charts. And Richard Osman observed that bands have disappeared because in the first half of the 1980s, so we're talking about a five-year period, first part of that decade. Bands were number one on the British pop charts 146 weeks. Okay. First half of the 90s, bands occupied the number one spot 141 weeks. And now in the first half of the 2020s, same period of time that he covered each of these decades, there were only, how many weeks would you guess the top spot taken by a band? This is British charts
today.
So 2020 through 2024.
Oh gosh,
as of date,
man, 20,
10,
3 weeks.
Wow.
So 146 weeks, first half of the 80s, 141 weeks, first half of the 90s, and then now only 3 weeks. One of them was a Live Lounge All Star band, which was made up of solo artists. Basically, it was from some, I think, BBC production or something. One of them was the Beatles when they re-released that, that new song.
Yeah.
And then one of them was a band called Little Mix, which, of course, in a way is the only actual band on the list because, the you know, I mean, the Beatles is a band, but heritage act, right?
Okay.
Not a real current band. So Rick Beato, the music vlogger, I don't know what you'd call him, music content creator, he's a producer that lives in Georgia. And I've always enjoyed his videos. He does interviews with musicians. He breaks down some music theory behind famous songs. So he's done a lot of enjoyable videos. So he takes a look at the top 400 artists on Spotify. And you can watch his video. I'm basically covering the information that he gave in his video. And he looked at how many bands on the top 400 artist list on Spotify were created in the last 10 years. So, you know, there are many bands on that top 400 list, but you're finding people like Queen, you know, the Beatles. So all those are older artists. He was looking at newer bands. So the past that were created within the last 10 years that are actually in the top 400 artists on Spotify.
Okay.
Is it going to be shockingly low?
How many would you guess? So you have 400 possible spots.
I'm going to guess shockingly low, since that's the direction we're headed, like 20?
I go 50. I go higher.
Okay. The correct answer is 3.
Oh, my God.
Of the 400 top artists.
I've never even considered this topic. What has happened to the band?
I haven't either. We've just gotten so used to this move over that has happened to the solo artist that we haven't really noticed that bands have just kind of disappeared.
Huh.
So, and he goes through and tells you what they are. Like, Coldplay is number 6 on the list on the top 400, but they were created in 1997, so they're outside of that 10 years. So the ones that were created in the last 10 years, 135 on the list is Grupo Frontera, created in 2022. Maneskin at 248. That's that. They won, like, Eurovision a few years ago, and so it's
okay.
European band. And then 328 is Richie Mitch and the Coal Miners, created in 2017.
Good name.
So why is this? Why have bands disappeared? He identifies a few reasons. These are some of his theories. He says, you know, that rock is not as popular. You find a lot of bands in rock music, and rock is just not quite as popular as it once was. He also identifies the advancements in technology. So in a creative person is looking to create music, used to in the old days, you had to find other musicians. You had to find a drummer. You had to find a bass player. You had to find a guitarist if you were a singer and you just played rhythm guitar. So you had to actually form a band in order to make the music.
Oh.
And now with technology and laptops are so good and you have loops and samples and you can program it to play the guitar for you. And so you can create this stuff more on your own than ever before, right? Yeah. With the tools that are available to you. And he also identified something else, which I think is interesting personally and culturally, which is band dynamics. It's hard to have a band.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's an anomaly because we have our Muser band that we've kept together for 30 years, which is hard to do. You know, most radio artists, it seems weird even, you know what I'm saying? But the analogy is
shows don't
Don't stay together because you have a bunch of strong personalities, which is why you hired them to be on radio. Well, strong personalities don't always get along with each other, and so things tend to implode after a certain shelf life. And that's the same it is in a band, you know? That's why you have things like happen. Well, look at Jane's Addiction just had to cancel their tour.
I saw that.
Because Perry Farrell went over and slugged Navarro on stage.
In a show.
And then they canceled the rest of their tour.
Wow. That's a great story.
So bands are hard to be in because you have to manage the interpersonal management that you have to do is difficult. So for any band to stay around for any length of time is extremely difficult.
So just get a beat, a track, somebody who looks good, can sing.
Right.
And you've got your
artist.
And
that's the other thing is it started happening. He identified in around 2010, but in the aughts, but certainly by 2010, record labels started recognizing they wanted more sure things. You know, you didn't want to take gambles on things. So they started hiring more and more writer producers. So what you do as a producer, you would also co-write the songs. Basically, it was your job to engineer a hit album. Well, you didn't trust it to the band to write all the songs. You hired the producer who was a great songwriter as well, who was also an accomplished musician. And the producer either plays a lot of the guitar or he hires his buddies that he knows are great session musicians to play all the instruments. So basically, you're just working with the lead singer and providing him material that he sounds good on, even though you've signed a band that's supposed to be coming in and doing this.
Yeah.
You ended up working with the lead singer, and he's really the only one appearing on any of the tracks
right. That's
credited to the band, but you've co-written all the songs with that lead singer if you're the producer and you're the songwriting team. And so then they just started saying, well, why even have the band, you know,
right,
if we're not going to use them on anything? So they just they started moving more towards that formula for creating hit albums and hit songs, was to hire a team of hit makers that produce and write the thing. And then they just said, well, we'll just do it with the solo artist. We don't need the band. So all of these factors, he thinks, go into why there are no more bands on our charts anymore. Also, the economics of promotion. It was easier, and it's easier for consumers also. You know, you can brand and manage and promote a solo artist a little bit better. It's more comprehensible to us. You know, we've all seen it when you watch a show and it's got 400 characters. You're like, this is a little kind of hard for me to bite into, you know, since it's not a perfect analogy. But you understand what I mean. It's like, but the solo artist, it's easier to sink into their scene and their drama and what they're about and where they're positioned.
Yeah.
You can position a solo artist a little bit easier than you can an entire band.
Like Dua Lipa.
Stop it.
What?
Stop always wanting to position Dua Lipa. So those are some of the things
that's really interesting.
Really interesting.
Yeah. Where have all the bands gone?
Never dawned on me.
And I think all that is fine, but that's what makes me still really enjoy the bands that we do have, rock, country, and when they go do a record or a song, a lot of bands are doing that now, just making maybe one song at a time, and they come up with whatever it is that they come up with, you know, that it's not so, this is the sound, you know, this is it.
And right. This
is, you know, I still, to me, that still stands out when you hear that, and especially a band that stays together, that can play the instrument like you've come to know it. I still think that's enjoyable, but man, it sounds like it's lost on an entire generation now.
Well, there's, you know, And I get why the industry is risk averse.
Sure.
To sign new sounding stuff, you're kind of risk averse of that because you know this stuff over here sells. This type of music sells. This songwriting team, they'll write a song that sounds very similar to the hit that they just had last time.
Yeah.
And people will make this one a hit because they know they like that sound. And it's, and they have the familiarity with the previous hit that kind of sounds like it, which makes you subconsciously like the new hit
right.
already.
Right.
You know, because it has familiarity to you. So you get so risk averse, then there's the homogenization starts to take yeah. hold and take root.
Yeah.
Interesting topic.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting.
I, these were his opinions. I haven't thought about it enough to know, and I'm certainly not on the inside to know if these are the actual dynamics that created the situation. But,
yeah.
Interesting topic. Okay, coming up next in Gordo's Corner, I do have Awakened from the Dead next.
Gordo's Corner, brought to us by A1 Locksmith Security and Safes.
It is a great song.
I'm going to see her.
Are you really?
Yep. ACL.
I may go with you.
Nah, that's all right.
We good.
No, you can go with
me. Come on. Want. I want to see it.
Okay.
It.
What if we're on?
I want to see the show.
What if we're on the front row?
Stop. Stop she being does, a creep.
She does that move with the mic stand.
I just want to watch the bass player play. Speaking of music, you know, there was a few things that I didn't get to in Musical Musers today. We do have some big shows coming to town. Nicki Minaj tonight. An American Airlines Center.
Man, she's got 20 semis out there. That's one of the biggest setups I've seen.
You get a semi when you look at her?
No, I always count the semis when I come in.
Yeah, why are you always counting semis?
I just think it's really interesting that for a show, you bring in 20 18-wheelers. That's a lot of stuff.
Maybe she has
it's amazing.
Big stage yeah. show.
But most are like anywhere from 6 to 12.
So you're going to go tonight? And watch Nicki Minaj and then freestyle from there.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow night at Dos Equis Pavilion, we got Slipknot.
Okay, Cat.
You ever go to one of their crazy shows?
No.
Wearing a mask and everything. Mm-mm. Rob Zombie at Dickie's Arena, along with Alice Cooper.
Oh, hey, my God.
It's tomorrow night. Tomorrow night at the House of Blues, Debbie Gibson.
She did porn, I think.
Whoa. No.
She did.
Well, she's a Christian artist, sir. She did like, I don't know, some bikini pics maybe or something. It was something light. It wasn't anything. Yeah.
She go by Deborah now?
Yes, I believe she does go by Deborah Gibson.
The bra.
But what was her big hit? It's not I Think We're Alone
Think
Now.
We're
that
alone
was her now? Evil rival, Tiffany.
Oh, I was kind of confused.
Debbie Gibson had something else. What was her hit? Come on. Somebody's got to know a Debbie Gibson.
Give me Only one of in My dogs. Dreams?
What?
Only in My Dreams? Is that one of them?
I don't.
That you're thinking of?
I don't think so, but I don't know. Doesn't sound familiar.
Foolish Beat was her first
Foolish
big hit.
Foolish Beat.
Foolish Beat.
Lost in Your Eyes.
Start before.
What was that last one?
Stop Lost before. In Your Eyes.
Lost in Your Eyes. I think that was it. That's what I'm thinking of. Friday, 38 special, one of George's favorites at Billy Bob's, and Los Lobos at Longhorn Ballroom on Friday.
All right.
And then on Saturday, Andre 3000 is playing the Windspear.
Interesting.
Yeah. So there are a few shows for you right there. And I saw where Monty's Handiwork finally took root.
Yeah.
And he broke up Rio Speedwagon.
They broke up?
Oh, no.
They will stop touring after their remaining dates due to irreconcilable differences.
After, what, 60 years?
Mm-hmm. Between their guitarist and singer and their bassist.
At least 50 years.
Yeah, they've been around for a long time. What was their best song?
I always like Keep the Fire Going.
Who sang I Can't Fight This Feeling?
That was REO Speedwagon.
Okay.
What's wrong with that?
Hate that song.
Yeah.
Slow Dance Special.
That is kind of a beating of a song. Because I can't fight this feeling anymore. I've forgotten what I started
it sounded
for.
Better than that.
Their lead singer is like Weird Al.
How's that?
Sounds like a genius voice. Sounds like they're doing a bit song.
I don't know.